Well, I have already been warned be careful up here because this is sort of a false side there, and I could fall and break my other ankle. But it is great to see everybody here this morning, to be here to celebrate Father's Day. This morning, I'm just going to tell you, okay, there it is. We're going to talk this morning about becoming the man that God has made us to be. You know, there is... there's something about, you know, Mother's Day and Father's Day, those days that we celebrate and kind of honor one another that are very special. And a lot of times as we think about these days and as we plan towards them, sometimes days that we want to really make special and that we really want to honor each other, they maybe may or may not live up to what we wanted them to be. At Christmas time, there's more depression that sweeps through the country, and people really deal with holidays and at Christmas especially, because there's all this hype and there's all this preparation for the holidays, and sometimes it just sort of it doesn't live up to that, and it's very disappointing sometimes when a day doesn't go the way that we want it to, or a season or something that we're trying to do doesn't really go the way we want it to. I know that right now, Vic is studying for the state boards for nursing, and she just finished nursing school, and that was a big deal, and she really she wanted me to be there for the pinning, and I was going to pin her and all, and you guys know how that worked out, and it didn't work out so well, and I was rushed to the emergency room right in the middle of the service and during the pinning because of my ankle. And so Hayden had to step in at the last minute and pin his mother, and it's very special to him, but she just really still isn't over that. Because, she had it in her head and all this time that was leading up to this day, and she wanted it to be a certain way, and she wanted it to be, because I'm the one who's been there and helped her study, and I've known how hard it is, and I appreciate how difficult it is, and the kids, they just think it's like their school, and so didn't really live up to that. And still, when she just got her diploma in the mail and we opened it, I was really excited, and she said, seeing you be excited about that diploma reminded me that you weren't there when I was pinned. And that's not how I planned that. It didn't live up to, but sometimes the day, just the moment, just doesn't live up to the expectations that we have. And today, as we celebrate Father's Day, to the dads, I want to say, it might not live up to the billing that you've given it in your mind, where you're thinking, this is the day. I mean, this morning my family got up at 6 and left for St. Louis. So, it wasn't the Father's Day I had in mind, but sometimes the day just doesn't live up to our expectations. But we honor one another anyway. And the idea of that is, sometimes we just don't live up to what we were intended to be. And dads and men, if you struggle with that, sometimes, as the father, as the man of the house, or as the, even if you're not a father, if you're just, being a man sometimes, especially today, is just so difficult. And when we're kids, we think it's going to be one way, and then we grow up and it turns out that it might not be exactly what we had in mind. Maybe the relationship we have with our children or our spouse or whatever just it's not what we had in mind or what we planned, but God understands that, because He created us to be something that we really haven't lived up to be. And in Psalm chapter 128, we read about what it looks like to get back to that. Because you see, who we are is not exactly who we were made to be. There's this expectation that God had so many thousand years ago when He created all of this. He looked back on each day of His creation and He said, it's good. He said, it's really good. And then He comes along to day number 6 and He creates man, He creates people, and He looks back on that day and He says, it's really, really good. And then this decision came along by the people who were there, by Adam and Eve, and creation took a turn for the worse, and it really wasn't what God had in mind at that point. You see, because other than God was chosen, and the fall happened, and sin entered the world, and so all of this fallenness has occurred since then. And it's really not the creation, it's really not the day that God had in mind at all. And we're not the people that God had in mind when He created us. And we're not the men, and we're not the fathers, the dads, and all of those things that He wants for us. We're really not. We experience that. We're fallen. And the tragedy of the whole thing is that who we are now, the experiences that we have, the letdowns, the disappointments, the expectations that are unmet are not who we were made to be. But the good news is that who we are is not who we have to be. You see, the reality is that the days that we experience, the expectations that maybe aren't met or whatever it is, the hardships or the disappointments of life, it's not what we have to remain. You see, God, in His infinite wisdom, He saw this coming, and even though that men and you know, humanity did not live up to the expectation that He had, it didn't meet the plan that He originally had, He had this backup plan all along. He said, you know, if and when this fall happens, I'm going to provide them a way back, a way to be more than what they are. He provided us a way of how to get back to who we were intended to be. So this morning, the message is a message of hope for dads, a message of hope for men on this Father's Day, on this day that we have chosen to not just honor fathers, as we don't just honor mothers, but to honor the men of this congregation, the future men and future leaders of this congregation, to say that even though a lot of life doesn't live up to the expectation, and ultimately the experience that we have in this body is not what God intended, there is a way back, and there are results of that way back, and there's hope, and there's good things. In Psalm 128, we read, blessed are all who fear the Lord. And remember that word in the Psalms, when you see blessed, you know, happy, contented, fulfilled, you know, experiencing joy. You know, one of the things, and I say this a lot, and we talked about it even at Morning Point, is I always want to reference our experience as Christians, our experience as people, you know, in the framework of the joy that God intends for us. Being a Christian, more than anything, if we're Christ followers, if we want to be Christ-like, is a life marked with joy. Yes, there was sorrow. Yes, there was disappointment and there was letdowns along the way. But overall, the life of Christ is a life of joy. For the joy set before Him, He endured the life of the cross. So joyous, content, blessed, happy are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace upon Israel. You see, as we think about the life that we have, that we want to live, we think about the men that we want to be, the example, the leaders, the providers, all of those things. And sometimes we don't live up to that expectation. And there is a way to be the man that God wants us to be. So this morning we're going to talk about how do we get back to be the man that God intended us to be? How do we experience the life and just bask in all of the blessings that it is to be that man and experience what He wants us to experience? The first thing from this scripture we see, to be that man, to get back to who He wants us to be, it begins with fear. Begins with fearing the Lord. We read here, blessed are all who fear the Lord. Now that's a really specific, it's unique to the scripture kind of word, fear the Lord. You know, when you see that, you think, okay, I got that. I'm really afraid of God. I don't want to be anywhere around, you know, and God is a scary thought to me. That's not at all what he's talking about. The number one thing commanded in all of Scripture is do not be afraid. Jesus says that to his disciples more than he says any other phrase. Fear not. Do not be afraid. So if we're not to be afraid, if we're to fear not, why in the world does he say, blessed are all who fear the Lord? Well, if we want to interpret Scripture, define terms by other Scriptures, then we understand from the Word that the fear of the Lord that he's talking about is not being afraid of the Lord. But if you want to be blessed, if you want to get back to what he intended, to fear the Lord is to have a wonder about God, to have this insatiable curiosity and wonder about our Lord. It's also a radical amazement of our Heavenly Father. You see, to fear, it's this respect and this wonder, this radical amazement, and this affectionate awe. You know, that's what, when you read in Scripture, and I've got this written down in the front of my Bible, and every time I read this word fear, you know, if I can't remember them all, I go back and I read in the very beginning, you know, the note portion of my Bible, and I've got these things written down and the Scriptures that go along with them, that fearing the Lord is about wonder and amazement and this awe of God. In Psalm 111 and verse 10, David writes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He obviously read his son obviously read his writings, because in Proverbs in 9 and 10, it says the exact same thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then later on in Proverbs 14 and 27, there we read that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Now, if we think about being afraid, being scared of God, that's really not so much a fountain of life, is it? But a wonderment, an awe, an amazement of God, a very holy and righteous respect of God. It's a wellspring of life. And it says that it's this fountain of life that helps us avoid the snares of death. You see, that's what understanding God does for us. That's what fearing the Lord does. So when we understand that, you know, come to know God in this wonderment, in this amazement, it's the beginning of becoming who God intended us to be. He goes on to say, not only are blessed those who fear the Lord, but who walk in His ways. So we should fear and follow the Lord. Walk in the ways that God has commanded. Walk in the ways that God has called us to walk. And walk in the ways that God has given us an example to walk. If we want to understand what it looks like to get back to what God intended, to be the God-made man that He intended us to be, we look no further than Jesus. Look no further than the example of His living Word, His expression of Himself here on earth. We get back to Matthew 5, 3 through 11. What does it look like to walk in the ways of the Lord? What does it look like to follow Christ? He said, blessed, again, at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Was Jesus poor in spirit? What that means is not relying on my own spirit, but relying on God. If I'm have this deficit of spirit, if I'm deficient in spirit, then I need His Spirit. I'm not relying on myself, I'm relying on Him. That's exactly what Jesus did during His entire ministry. He was poor in spirit, relying on God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those whose sin in this world, whose separation from God causes them to mourn that reality and wants. He said they'll be comforted. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, who don't chase after the world, who don't hunger and thirst after what this place can provide, but hunger and thirst after righteousness, they're going to be filled. He said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. He goes on, blessed are the peacemakers. Did Jesus make peace while He was here? He did say, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. But ultimately, His ministry was about bringing peace between us and God, stopping the violence between us and God, stopping the negativity between the two, and proving to us that God wants us back. He said, blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are the insulted. Is this the life that Christ lived? Is this the very example of what it looks like to follow Christ? Absolutely it is. So if we want to be a God-made man, if we want to get back to what He intended, here's a good list of things that we can strive for. Here's a good list of ways that we can live our lives to follow after God. We'll only do that if we start out by respecting and being in wonderment and awe and amazement at Him. And then we follow Him in our attitude. We follow Him in what we do. And this psalm goes on to talk about not only, you know, blessed who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. Then he goes on to talk about, this Father's Day gift that keeps on giving. He goes on to talk about in this psalm that there are some results of being a God-made man. That there's an outcome to all this. Not only do we experience this happiness from within, this joy, this contentment, not only are we, you know, relying on the fact that I'm getting closer and closer to being back to what my Father intended all those years ago when He first initially thought of me and created me and when He knit me together in my mother's womb. Not only is there joy in that, but there's results in being this God-made man. He says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. You know, one of the things about being a man today, there's a whole lot of ideas about, you know, what it's supposed to be. You know, there, you got to be this, this sort of Rambo, not afraid of anything, John Wayne sort of, you know, charging into the battlefront. You know, nothing bothers you, never cry, kind of, you know. And then there's this idea of, well, there's the sensitive man kind of. You need to be this, this real sensitive sort of listener kind of guy. And then, you know, there's all kinds of definitions and roles that we're told, you know, this is what you got to be like. And all you have to do is go to the movies to find about 15 different examples of what men are supposed to be. And it seems like none of them are really biblical examples of what a man's supposed to look like. You know, it's not that we're supposed to be this tough, taking care of business kind of guy. We don't have to be this provider all the time. You know, we don't have to have all of the weight of the world. You know what this teaches us right here? To be the man that God wants us to be. He said, you know, this, all these blessings will follow, prosperity. Your wife will be a fruitful vine within your house. He's saying that being the result of being a God-made man is productivity all the way around. You see, we're not supposed to be this, you know, this warrior or this king or this, sensitive counselor all the time. You know what we're supposed to be? More than anything, God wants us to be a facilitator, not a dictator. He wants us to be an enabler. He wants us to enable people to be exactly who they were designed by God to be. Isn't that what he tells us in Ephesians when he says, husbands, you know, you need to be the head of the wife? You know, at no time does it say husbands be the head of the house or the head of the wife. Find head of the house. No, it's not in there. We're the head of the wife. We're not the boss. We're not the dictator. We're not the ruler. The facilitator. We've talked about this. You know, the being the head, the noggin, this. What does it do? What does it do? It facilitates. It enables the rest of the body to do exactly what the body is designed to do. See, if my brain tells my body to do something that it can't do, you know, I could climb up on top of this building and my brain got a notion and said, you know what, Shane? You know, my brain says your body's going to fly off of this building, and I could flap my little wings and I would fall to, well, certain pain, because I would be telling myself to do something I'm not designed to do. You see, what men are called to do is not be the planner, not be the sole provider, support, all that, but to be this facilitator, this enabler, this person that sees others and helps them, you know, this vine, this fruitful vine, you know, that's connected to you, and you're sending nutrients and support and all of these things. And you know what that vine does? It produces exactly what it was designed to produce. That's what it does. Men, you want to be a God-made man? Facilitate those around you. Enable those around you. Build those up. Support those that you are in contact with to be exactly what not you, but God designs and wants them to be. You know, as a father, that's That's probably one of my biggest struggles. I want my kids to do what I think they ought to do. I want them to dress the way I think they ought to dress. I want them to wear things I think they ought to, you know, and I want them to say things. And to a certain extent, I can guide and I can do. But at some point, we've got to allow people to be what God has especially enabled and designed them to be. Ephesians also says, or it's Philippians, that says that God has especially put inside our hearts. He said, you know, it is He who calls you and who strengthens you to want what He wants. God is the one who puts those desires in our heart, those wants and those talents that go in a specific direction. As a husband, I need to be an enabler to my wife, enable her to do what God's called her to do. As a dad, I need to be an enabler to my children, to enable them to go in a direction that God has called them. You know, I've heard parents talk about their kids, and specifically, you know, they go to school and they get this degree and it's what they wanted to do and it's what they thought they wanted to do. It's what they thought they were good at. And then this one, you know, one guy who was just about to graduate, I think he was getting a degree in business or accounting or something like that. And he just really on accident went on a mission trip, and he decided as a senior that maybe God's calling me to be a missionary. Because his heart just broke for these people. His heart just broke for this opportunity. He was in love with it from the word go. And he comes back and he says, you know what, Mom? I think my eyes have been opened and I'm going to graduate. But instead of going into the business world, I'm going to go around and find some support. And I'm going to go back to the South American country. I'm going to set up shop and I'm going to minister to these people. And I'm going to share the gospel with them and I'm going to live with them. And that's what I'm going to do. And his mother convinced him, well, don't throw away your education. I don't want to do that. I want to facilitate and enable my kids to go the direction God is calling them to go. And it might not look like I want them to go. It might not be what I had in mind. It might not be my plan. I mean, you might want them to play baseball, and lo and behold, they love soccer. Or it might be even something of eternal, more monumental consequence than that. You might want them to be a businessman or a businesswoman. And they just want to tell people about Jesus. He goes on to say, not only do you produce, but you make provision. A provision that lasts. You see, your sons will be like olive shoots. You see, olive shoots would support, an olive grove would support families for generation and generations and generations. And so it's one thing to say your wife will be a fruitful vine because, you know, your wife, you know, your generation will kind of go away with you as far as what you can produce. But an olive branch, you see, that's a legacy. That's something that will produce long after you're gone. You see, olive groves would be around for years and years and generations and generations. And it would be this legacy of wealth and provision and productivity. And he said, your sons will be that. If you want to be, if you want to fear God and follow God, if you want to live the life that He's called, not the life that we were necessarily born into, but the life that we were reborn, that we were born again into, then what it does is that life produces over and over again. And now don't get hung up on the wealth side of that. Because he says your sons will be like olive shoots. And yeah, that talks of specific earthly wealth. But I doubt very seriously that God has any concern whatsoever for our earthly wealth that we pass on. He's more concerned with our spiritual wealth that we're passing on. And he says, if you fear the Lord, if you follow the Lord, then your offspring and the offspring, not only yours, but that you mentor, that you come in contact with, that you guide in these same ways, they will produce spirituality. They will produce righteousness on this earth for generations. And not only provision, not only will we be leaving a legacy of spirituality, not only a legacy that will produce righteousness on this earth, but posterity. Generation, generation, and generation will be blessed. And see, it's my belief It's my prayer that God made men can change a nation. You see, God says, look, may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. May you live to see your children's children. And he ends with peace upon Israel, peace upon God's people, peace upon a nation. You see, being a God-made man, getting back to what was intended, is more than just living the life that makes me happy. It's more than just helping my wife and those that I'm in contact with be what God's called them to be. It's more than just, you know, providing a spiritual legacy for my family. But if we in this room and in fact those that we are around decide I will be the man that God has called me to be, I promise you we can change a nation. We can turn it back. Back to what God intended for it to be. Because it will be full of men who fear God and lead others in that same wonder, in that same amazement, in that same awe. And it will be full of people who follow Him. What would our nation look like if it was said of this generation of kids, boy, man, they are as poor in spirit as anybody I've ever seen. Well, I tell you what, kids today, they hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh man, this generation, well, oh, I'm telling you, they are, they're merciful. I mean, they are so merciful. Wouldn't that change a nation? Wouldn't that change the face of an entire country? It starts with God made men. There's no doubt that sometimes Father's Day doesn't live up to the expectations we've had. Guys, I mean, you opened up that present and you're like, oh, a tie. Yes. Or, a salmon shirt and a olive ascot is exactly what I wanted. Or maybe, you know, it's the big white patent belt. Or whatever it is. Sometimes those presents don't, you know, it's not exactly what we had in mind. But that's okay, because it is a thought that counts. And I'm just glad that we're thought of. You know, Mother's Day, the most phone calls made. Father's Day, most collect phone calls made. That's all right. But sometimes, you know, it might not live up to the expectations. I know we haven't, have we, guys? We're not what God intended us to be, but we can be. We can get back to the original design, and we can bless a nation. This morning, if you need any, if you know, there might be men in here that have said, you know what, I've been away from God. I haven't been what I've been intended to be, and I want to get back to that. I want to be restored to the glory of God. That might be your need this morning. And you can start giving back that gift that keeps on giving. If you want to be that, if you need that, you can come forward and we can pray with you. We can pray over you and just love on you and help you to see what God wants you to be. Or maybe you just need to start over and say, you know what? For too long, I haven't confessed Christ. I want to confess Christ this morning. I want to be baptized. There is a baptistry back here somewhere. I promise we can baptize you and everyone can hear that. We might not be able to see it, but you can hear the glory of God as you go under those waters and come up, and it'll be okay. Whatever your need is this morning, we can meet that need as together we stand and as we sing.